Headlines this hour, Turkey's Prime Minister is in Iran to join Monday's G15 summit as a special guest. Iran and Brazil say they want the United Nations to be structurally reformed. And Israel bars Noam Chomsky from visiting the occupied West Bank.
Well, it's 2:30 in the morning here in the capital, Tehran. You're watching another bulletin of World News on Press TV.
Thanks for joining us. Turkey's Prime Minister has arrived in Tehran to join the G15 summit in the Iranian capital as a special guest. Recep Tayyip Erdogan and his energy minister will stay in Tehran for a day. Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman Ramin Mehmanparast says there may be a trilateral meeting between the leaders of Iran, Turkey and Brazil for talks on a possible nuclear fuel swap. Iran will host the G15 summit on Monday. 17 countries are taking part.
Well, the leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution says independent states should work closely together to overcome injustice in the world. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei made the comments in a meeting with the Brazilian President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva in Tehran. Ayatollah Khamenei also underlined Lula's comments on the necessity of a structural reform of the United Nations. He said unipolarism can only be removed when independent states come together. Meanwhile, Brazilian President said his visit to Tehran is mainly aimed at expanding political and economic ties with Iran. Lula says major states, including Iran, have emerged in the world's geopolitical arena in recent years. He said these countries can form a new political and economic bloc.
Accompanying the Brazilian president is a 300-member delegation, including five cabinet ministers and business leaders. They're in Tehran for the fourth Iran-Brazil Economic Forum. Topping the agenda, expanding bilateral ties.
We need to increase tourism, multiply air connections, and capitalize the opportunities opened by our agreement of sporting cooperation. We will not reach our goals without an agile and ambitious mechanism of financing and commercial operations.
Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad says the two countries aim to increase bilateral trade to $10 billion.
Our bilateral relationship and its development is not only beneficial for our countries, but is also a good base for developing independent, just and friendly relationships with other developing and developed countries.
The world's eighth largest economy also called for Iran's membership in the World Trade Organization. Iranian and Brazilian officials signed several economic, energy, and financial memorandums of understanding. The Brazilian president also met with Iran's parliament speaker, Ali Larijani. Lula is in Iran to attend the Group of 15 summit. Other heads of state, including the Malaysian Prime Minister and the presidents of Senegal, Zimbabwe, and Sri Lanka, are also in Tehran. President Ahmadinejad and his Senegalese counterpart announced that the two countries will expand bilateral cooperation in gas, oil, and the automobile industry. The Iranian president also met with his Sri Lankan counterpart. During the meeting, Mahinda Rajapakse called for deeper bilateral ties with Iran. The G15 summit opens in Tehran on Monday.
Meanwhile, the leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution has met with presidents of Senegal and Sri Lanka. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei told Senegal's president that Muslim nations have a strong identity because of their huge human and geographical potential. He further urged more unity among Muslims. The leader also referred to the plight of the Palestinians. Ayatollah Khamenei said all Muslim nations should see the problems facing the Palestinian people as their own. On his part, Abdullahi Awade spoke of Iran's high potential in different sectors, including education and oil. He also said he's hopeful that his country will further deepen its ties with Iran during his stay. Ayatollah Khamenei also met with the Sri Lankan president. He hailed Colombo's success in solving its internal problems. The leader also talked about relations between Iran and Sri Lanka. He said they are deep-rooted, adding that they've never been this good. On his part, Sri Lanka's president Mahinda Rajapakse called relations between Tehran and Colombo age-old. And he said his country is ready to deepen its ties with Tehran in all fields.
Iranian authorities have released a French national held over spying charges. Clotilde Ries has now returned to France.
She was sentenced to 10 years in jail after the court found her guilty of acting against Iran's national security and gathering intelligence. But due to the fact that the convict was a woman and she was a foreign national, the court decided to only sentence her to a fine of nearly $300,000. After paying the fine, she was allowed to leave Iran.
Well, Ries was arrested in Tehran after participating in anti-government rallies following the 2009 presidential election. She was put on trial over espionage charges. After her trial last summer, Ries was released on bail and was temporarily held at the French embassy in Tehran.
The Iraqi High Electoral Commission has held a press conference in the Green Zone. The body announced the results of its recount of votes cast in the Baghdad province. Press TV's Wissama Biati reports.
The Iraqi Independent High Electoral Commission has announced the final results of the manual recount of votes for Baghdad province from Iraq's parliamentary elections. The spokesperson of the IHAC stated that the results did not change the election's final results and kept the winning coalitions and parties in their positions.
After repeated calculations for the ballot casts, the IHEC announces that the results were almost identical to the previous one. There were only very small differences in the votes which do not affect the results.
The Arab League ambassador to Baghdad stated that the manual recount process was well organized and based on the highest international standards, adding that there was no sign of fraud.
The recounting process was held according to the highest levels of accuracy and was based on international standards. The Arab League saw no signs of fraud.
Just before the recount started, Election Commission spokesperson Qasim al-Aboudi said that another request for a recount by the main Kurdish bloc had been withdrawn in the national interest. In the meantime, it's reported that Muqtada Sadr does not object to Maliki's reappointment as long as he meets certain conditions, including stopping continuous arrests against Sadrists. The Sadrists are also pushing for control over Iraq's security forces. By announcing the final results for the manual recount for Baghdad province, which came almost as same as the previous one, the Independent Electoral Commission has finished the electoral process in the country. And whether the Iraqi officials will accept the results remains to be seen. Wissam Al-Biati, Press TV, from the Iraqi capital, Baghdad.
Well, Israel has prevented the prominent Jewish-American scholar and political activist Noam Chomsky from entering the occupied West Bank. He was also detained by the Israelis for several hours. The American scholar had been invited to speak at the Palestinian Beit Zayed University near Ramallah. He was stopped from entering at the Israeli-controlled crossing from Jordan. Israeli border officials told Chomsky they were following the order of senior interior ministry officials. The scholar says he was denied entry because of his political opinions. Chomsky is a critic of U.S. foreign policy. He has frequently spoken out against Israel's occupation of Palestinian territories.
The Belgian foreign minister is on a tour of the Middle East. His first stop was Egypt, where he met with his Egyptian counterpart and the Arab League Secretary General.
Belgian Foreign Minister Steven Vanneker has wrapped up his one-day visit to Egypt after holding talks with his Egyptian counterpart Ahmed Abulghit and Arab League Secretary General Amr Moussa. The talks have revolved around ways of reviving long-stalled Palestinian-Israeli talks. Vanneker said that the visit also aimed to boosting bilateral relations and discussing Egypt's ties with the EU. In a press conference following the meeting with Arab League Secretary General, Vanikar stressed that his country's stance is the same as that of the EU, which has called for the necessity of resuming negotiations and reaching a two-state solution, as the new Israeli settlements in the Palestinian territories have dashed hopes of any new breakthrough in the stalled talks.
In the coming 6 months, Belgium will have to assume the responsibility of the rotating presidency. I thought it was essential to have been in the Middle East before taking up this responsibility, knowing that the year 2010 is crucial for progress in this matter.
The talks were detailed and useful. At the same time, I'd like to point out that the Middle East policies of the Belgian government have always been balanced. They always take into consideration the complicated relationships that exist in the region. Its relationship with the Arab world has always been promising.
He also pointed out that the European Council believes that any peace solution must be in accordance with the Security Council's resolutions, the roadmap, and the Arab Initiative. The democratically elected movement of Hamas that controls the Gaza Strip has repetitively said that any proximity talks initiated by either Israel or the U.S. is a joke. Egypt, that has diplomatic ties with Israel, has in the past 3 years kept closed the Rafah border, the only crossing that Gazans can travel through to the outside world.
They want to give the negotiations another chance. As we see, the previous negotiations failed to achieve a result. If the EU continues to maintain its preceding stance, in my opinion, and with existing American collusion, we will not see a solution to the Arab-Israeli crisis.
The Belgian foreign minister is also due to visit Israel for a three-day visit. He's scheduled to meet with Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Foreign Affairs Lieberman, President Shimon Peres, and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
The Belgian foreign minister's visit to the region comes ahead of his country's presidency of the EU, which can bring a more affirmative and just EU role in the peace process. This is Mai Kamel reporting for Press TV, Cairo.
Well, in Gaza, an exhibition has been held to mark the 62nd anniversary of the day when hundreds of thousands of Palestinians were forced to flee their homes. Here's more.
Events continue to be held in Gaza to mark 62 years of displacement following Israel's creation on historic Palestine in 1948. Palestinian refugees who are scattered all over the world are still denied the right of return to their homes. Palestinians say they are determined to keep the memory of that day alive for generations to come.
Today we assert the Palestinian refugees' right to return to their homeland. This right is sacred and means the liberation of occupied Palestine. This can be done through resistance.
The impoverished Gaza Strip is home to over 1.5 million Palestinians. Hundreds of thousands of these people are refugees living in dire conditions in 8 refugee camps across Gaza. Palestinians have no recognized state, and they have been living in a state of limbo. While dispossessed of their homes and lands, many exhibitions and events have been held in the memory of Nakba. The image of this key has become the symbol of the Palestinian people's dream of returning to their homes they were driven out in 1948 by Zionist gangs, who claimed at that time that Palestine was a land without people for a people without a land.
Such exhibitions refresh the memory of our people who still keep the keys of their homes in different villages in historic Palestine. The objects on display reflect the identity of the indigenous people of Palestine on their land.
We will not give up the right to return to our homes from which we were forced to flee. We will implant the love of our homeland in our children's hearts. This key will always remain the symbol of our return.
Palestine lives in the hearts of Palestinian refugees who were dispossessed from about 530 villages and towns and forced to leave their homes.
While many years have passed since the Nakba took place, there seems to be no let-up on the issues that remain central to expelled Palestinians, namely a return to their homelands. Yusuf Al-Hilo, Press TV, Gaza.
And you're watching the news here on Press TV. Quick check of the headlines this hour. Turkey's prime minister is in Iran to join Monday's G15 summit as a special guest. Iran and Brazil say they want the United Nations to be structurally reformed. And Israel bars Noam Chomsky from visiting the occupied West Bank.